Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, Mark Ogden, Ian Dark and Stevie Nicol will be joining me a little later on. But first, plans for the Premier League to return to action. Here's the latest of them. English football aims to resume season behind closed doors on June the 6th. Season would resume after initial three-week mini pre-season starting on May the 16th. Plan depends on government advice and the extent of lockdown measures in the UK. There will be a video conference of all 20 Premier League clubs. Now that will take place on Friday to discuss a tentative schedule. Well, let's welcome in Mark Ogden and Ian Dark to discuss this. Mark, let's start with you. How realistic of a plan is it?
I think it's ambitious. It's 7 weeks away, I think, for the resumption of 6th of June, but they've also got to start training again. So that's the difficult part. It's train middle of May and then hope to play in June. Now, what we are now, middle of April, you know, the UK is still in lockdown. There's no suggestion it's going to end soon. So there's optimism within the football fraternity that it might happen. There's certainly hope, but I think it's still going to be optimistic at this stage to start playing on the 6th of June with fans clearly not in the ground, but still you need quite a few people to be in the ground to make the games go ahead. Referees, officials, cleaners, ground staff, camera crews. It's not just two teams of 11 players.
Ian, what do you think?
Well, I think first thing I'd say is it seems almost obscene, really, when hundreds of people are dying every day and thousands more are being treated in hospitals to even be thinking about the restart of football. Perhaps we shouldn't be saying that on a football show, but I think it is right. So I think it has to be kept in perspective. Having said that, the Premier League is a business. They do want to finish the season, but I think they can only do it when it is completely safe to do so, even behind closed doors, for all the reasons there that Mark just listed. It's not just the players. There's a lot of staff and a lot of other people working around the game, even if it is behind closed doors. So, yeah, I think it is ambitious, but I guess they have to have some kind of plan in case things do look a little bit better by then. But, you know, the players now, I wouldn't say they're out of shape, but they're a long, long way from being match sharp. And that's going to be a big problem as well. Getting the players up to speed to play again after so long without playing.
Meanwhile, Mark, you've been writing over on the website about the future of Harry Kane and indeed Jadon Sancho with their prospective moves to Manchester United. It's interesting, obviously, you're suggesting that Spurs will be more open than ever to sell Kane because of the financial problem they could find themselves in. If you're United, who do you go for, Kane or Jadon Sancho?
It's a classic dilemma, isn't it? It's basically a guy that's a proven guy now, Harry Kane. He's 27 in July. He's another Robin Van Persie. He's a guy that you'd probably sign now in the hope that you can win something quickly. But at 27, with a lot of injuries, I worked out he's missed a quarter of Tottenham's games over the last 3.5 years. A quarter, 52 games he's missed. Now with Jadon Sancho, he's only 20. With Sancho, you're looking at maybe 10 years of service there. But Kane, you would think, is guaranteeing 20, 25 league goals a season. Could be the difference between United, you know, challenging for the Premier League and actually winning it. Because, you know, there may be three or four players away, but Kane would be a great start to that. So it's a massive dilemma. And I think, you know, Daniel Levy supposedly wants £200 million for Harry Kane. He's not getting anywhere near £200 million for Harry Kane. Injuries, age, the transfer market's cooled an awful lot in the last 12 months. It's going to cool even more because of the coronavirus crisis. I think Harry Kane's market value is now probably close to £100 million, which means that Sancho and Kane have got a similar market value. And if that's the case, it's a huge dilemma. Personally, I go for Sancho because long-term, I think he gives you more return. But obviously, Kane is proven goals.
It's a great dilemma to have, isn't it, Ian? Who would you go for?
I'm with Mark. Sancho, having seen him recently live playing in the Champions League for Borussia Dortmund against Paris Saint-Germain, he was absolutely electric. I was amazed, really, to see how far he's progressed. He was dominating the game. As for Kane, I think there'd be a riot, wouldn't there, among the Spurs fans if he was sold. But every player's got his price, and this story's kind of taken off ever since he gave that interview on Instagram saying that he wouldn't be staying at Spurs for the sake of it. But I think that was a bit of a chance remark. I do think there's a vague possibility he could be sold because Spurs have got to rebuild sometime. Their financial position might not be that great with the new ground and the coronavirus crisis. So it'll be interesting to see whether they cash in and then use that money to rebuild.
Manchester United, though, Mark, surely won't be the only club in for either Sancho or Kane, and maybe they don't have the same sort of clout that they had in the past. Despite all of that, would they be confident if they said, right, we're going for Sancho, that they get him?
I think that there's going to be more of a market for Sancho than Kane. I think United's rivals are people like Real Madrid, Liverpool, but I do think United have got a head start on that, because, first of all, they are quite cash rich in terms of the money they've got in the bank already. And Sancho's looked at Liverpool and realised Sadio Mane, Salah, Roberto Firmino, will he play every week? Maybe not. Real Madrid, you know, who knows what sort of situation they're going to be in this summer with, if they want Pogba, they want maybe Haaland as well. So, and maybe even Mbappe. I think Harry Kane has got less options. Where does Harry Kane go? Again, Liverpool don't need Harry Kane. They've got Firmino. Bayern Munich, they've got Lewandowski. And you go to all the clubs in Europe, PSG, Barcelona, Real Madrid, yeah, they don't need him or they haven't got the money, because the coronavirus is going to make a huge impact on clubs' finances. So because of the situation right now, I think Man United, maybe Man City, have got the money in place. But City, again, they don't tend to go for English players. They go for people like Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, Chelsea perhaps. But can you see Tottenham selling Harry Kane to Chelsea? I'm not so sure. So I think United could be the best option right now for Harry Kane, but I think they'll go for Sancho.
How keen, if you were Harry Kane, Ian, would you for a move to Manchester United? Because you're not necessarily getting Champions League football, not exactly a team that's been battling for a title over the last few seasons. Would you be looking for other preferable options?
Well, I think he will have a few options, no doubt about it, because I think he is the best striker in the country, the best goal scorer in the country, certainly the best English one anyway. I mean, it's interesting with Manchester United, if you think about it, they could have Sancho and Bruno Fernandes playing behind Marcus Rashford. So some people might think, well, do they need Harry Kane, particularly if the price is going to be up nearer £200 million, which Mark has got his, I know he's got his ear pretty close to the ground in Manchester, knows maybe that kind of fee is pretty much unrealistic. But Kane, I think there was a time when people would walk on broken glass to go to Manchester United, but you're right. At the moment, with no Champions League football guaranteed, it may be not quite such an enticing option as, say, Real Madrid.
It's the first time I've had you two gentlemen on since the great quiz battle. We showed, obviously, a clip of it yesterday. Ian coming from behind to win. Has Steve Bruce still been haunting you in your nightmares, Mark?
Oh, unbelievable, yeah. I still want a recount on that. I'm sure that Neil Warnock got more.
So, and Shane Long, you couldn't remember that Shane Long scored the fastest goal. And that was what? Only that was quite recent.
Again, recent memory is hopeless. Ask me 20 years ago and it's fine.
Ian, I imagine the adrenaline rush lasted for days.
I was a very lucky winner. I was getting a caning, to be honest, early on there, and I came up with a couple of late goals from somewhere, and that was a guess, Steve Bruce. You know, the pressure's terrible. I've now got a lot of sympathy for these guys who are on all these big quizzes on the TV, because Dan, when you're asking those questions, suddenly your mind goes a blank. I'm sure Mark will confirm that.
Tough questions as well, to be fair.
I recorded Don and Craig today. We had to take it down to the junior edition because players don't remember anything and they were still terrible. Keep an eye out for that later on. Thank you very much to Mark. Just a reminder, you can go over to our YouTube channel and catch that quiz between Ian and Mark. It is probably the most dramatic comeback you'll certainly see all month, wherever. It was impressive from Ian.
Classico.
Fascinating story about the future of MLS this season. Don Garber speaking exclusively to Taylor Twellman about some of the plans MLS are considering going forward. Here's a clip.
A little more than a couple of weeks ago on Get Up with Mike Greenberg, you said the plan was to play a 34-game MLS season. Has that changed at all?
Well, you know, our hope is to still continue to do that. But, you know, that decision can't be made sitting here today. As you know, the stay-at-home orders are rolling out across the country and at a different time period, both here and in Canada. So most of the scenarios we're looking at have us going into a number of different locations, a concept of a tournament, and then right after that being able to later in the summer or to be able to play regular season games in our stadiums. Likely without fans. We're calling them MLS studio games. Yep. We're trying to be as creative as we can about what those games might look like. So the plan is to play as many games of the 34-game season as possible.
Well, the man who got that exclusive with Don Garber with us now. Taylor, everybody's ears pricked up when they heard tournament format.
Yep, same here, Dan, same here. Obviously, you need to be progressive in your thinking and trying to find a way to, one, I think, catch the fans' attention when you've taken this long of a hiatus. And so if you're looking at, let's say, mid-June, mid-July, and you kind of create this Champions League knockout round type of format, World Cup style, I think they're just being very open with how they're looking at it. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm excited about the idea, because now you get right into the thick of things. Yes, you're going to have an abbreviated regular season, yet they can play into the winter a little bit, Dan. So they're going to do their best to try to have as much of a full 2020 season. But make no mistake about it, when Don Garber said a tournament style to kick this thing off, whether it's closed doors or not, it caught my attention 100%.
I think most fans like you would like to see this, the excitement, the drama of it. Do you think clubs would be on board as well?
I think so, Dan. I really do. I also think, you know, with Leagues Cup and with the U.S. Open Cup most likely going to be postponed or if not flat out canceled, maybe this is an intriguing idea for those tournaments, or especially when you look at the U.S. Open Cup. You could have the USL and the amateur teams go through a qualification process, MLS goes through it, and then all of a sudden you turn it into a Champions League style where you've got groups and you come out of that. Absolutely. I think there's a positive that's going to come out of this if that comes to fruition.
Everyone's got an opinion, obviously speculation from some, that maybe this could be a good excuse in the long run for MLS to adapt to a European calendar. Given that conversation you had with the commissioner yesterday, is it suggested maybe that's kind of out the window?
I'm not totally sure, Dan, because I think they are having that conversation. Now, you and I have spoken throughout this entire quarantine, and a couple weeks ago, I said to you and those on SportsCenter, this could be a positive for Major League Soccer. If they're open-minded to the challenge and open-minded to the change, then this may give you the opportunity. Now, listen, if you're going to adopt the European, Western European schedule for that matter, you definitely have to take a winter break, because the teams in Canada, the teams in the Northeast, they're not going to be able to play games, you know, December 15th through February 15th or whatnot. But it also allows you to play your most meaningful games away from the NFL. And Dan, in America right now, a lot's going to change regarding the NBA schedule. I think the NBA is going to permanently change theirs, where their final's going to be in July, maybe even August. They're going to start their season around Christmas. I think this is going to happen. So why not be open-minded and think this through? Now, a big part of this, Dan, is us, media partners, especially ESPN, being open to that. But you've heard me say this numerous amount of times. MLS Cup on Memorial Day, you own that day. What else is there? Yes, you've got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, you've got Major League Baseball, but it's not the NFL. It is not college football. You're wanting a piece of the pie. I think the pie's a little bit bigger if you flip the schedule and try to play as close to a Western European schedule that you can.
Finally, Taylor, what else stood out from that interview with Don Garber yesterday?
Well, interestingly enough, Dan, I asked him about the furloughs and the situation that we're seeing across the board economically in this country. I asked him about Real Salt Lake. He fully expects that there are going to be more clubs that look at their non-playing staff. The players, eventually, if this thing doesn't get kicked off, they're going to be approached by a pay cut and whatnot. But also just the way he's learned that, you know what, the amount of momentum that they had compared to the other leagues around the world where they seem to be a little bit more unstable, he offers a little bit of perspective on that. And then I also have got Jesse Marsh for about 8 to 10 minutes, and then a long interview that will be on the side, 20 minutes about his Champions League experience, but more so what his club's been doing during the quarantine. And of course, Dan, John Champion, his top five best MLS foreign signings. You're going to want to watch it, because I think he missed a big one.
Oh, it sounded great to you mention John Champion. Taylor Twelman, thank you very much. You can watch then Jesse Marsh, Don Garber, and John Champion as well, I suppose, if you must, on Banter, which drops tomorrow, 2 p.m. Be sure to check it out.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star.
Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We welcome in now the beautiful Frank Leboeuf, who is with us from Paris. Let's talk a bit of PSG, shall we, Frank? Because it's an interesting few months upcoming for them in the fact that they could be seeing a lot of their key players leaving. Cavani, obviously, we've discussed before. Thiago Silva, their captain, could be out the door. Meunier as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they go about trying to keep hold of those players or how, in fact, they try and replace them.
Well, I think there is a time for everything, and we talked about that through some years, you know, in the recent and past years, where we were wondering if Thiago Silva should stay, if Cavani should go, Meunier, what about Meunier, and I think there is a time for, again, for everything, and maybe a time for some players to leave. Because what we expect from Paris Saint-Germain is to win the Champions League. Winning domestic trophies is nice, but it's not enough for the fans. It's not enough for the press, especially when you spend so much money to bring some players over and make sure that you have a decent team to win the Champions League. So those players are fantastic players, but they belong to let's say losers type of players in a way that they didn't get the Champions League. It's what people think. It's not what I think. It's what people think. And maybe they want to see them leaving at the end of the day because they didn't win the Champions League. So there is also the question about Verratti, even if he's young. Marquinhos in another way, even if he's really appreciated by with the fans. But some players like Cavani, Thiago Silva are getting old. Earn lots of money, so the club and the board are wondering if is not the time for them to leave the club. Even if we are sad to see those fantastic players leaving, it's maybe the right time for that.
And obviously, we always talk about Mbappe and Neymar, but if those sort of names leave, it's more of an imperative still, isn't it, to keep those two key players.
Yes, you have to select the best player you can, and of course you can't get rid of the two best players that you have in Paris Saint-Germain, and it can be a big tools to win the Champions League. The main thought of the board is to pick the players that you want to keep to make sure they're going to win the Champions League, and it's been showed over the years that the players that we just mentioned before were very good, but not maybe good enough to win the Champions League. So at a certain point, you know, you have to get rid of them.
But obviously we know with financial fair play, you've got these key players leaving. You're going to need money from somewhere. Is there any sort of temptation at all to cash in Neymar, sell him to Barcelona for, say, 150 million, and then use that money to try and bring in the sort of players that will, as you say, help them achieve their goal to win the Champions League? Or is the fact you're losing Neymar and selling him on almost admitting defeat?
Well, in a perfect world, and if you really want, and if the PSG really wants to sell Neymar, you can call Barcelona and say, okay, we want 100 or 150 or 200 million for Neymar. But what will be the economical level of Barcelona after that coronavirus problem and pandemic? So it's going to be tricky, because I'm not sure that Barcelona is capable of buying Neymar. And what about Neymar? Does he want to stay, maybe to win the Champions League with Paris Saint-Germain at the end of the season? Will we have a final of the Champions League? We don't know much about that, but it's true for the economical fair play. Paris Saint-Germain needs to sell players in order to buy others and to have a more competitive player team for the end of the season or this season. So it's a tricky situation for a club who wants to be very, very big, but has to sell players to become better.
And finally, Mario Icardi, of course, on loan at the moment from Inter to PSG. It's almost a conversation that we have every few days, but it changes the rhetoric each time we talk, whether or not he will stay or go. Frank, overall, if you were in charge of PSG, have you seen enough to keep Icardi at that club?
Well, we saw two Icardis. In fact, we saw at the beginning a very good player who always was at the right spot to finish the actions and score many goals. And then we saw somebody not very happy with the coach decision, not really being fit, not very concerned about what he has to do in the second part of the season. So it's hard to make up your mind about Icardi and to know exactly what you really, if you're really sure that you want to get him. I think he had a decent season so far. I can bet on him that he can be better and he can do well for Paris Saint-Germain. So I want to believe that he didn't show his best for the moment and he can be better. So is somebody who likes Paris? Is somebody who was ready to fight for Paris? So, yeah, let's try.
Oh, great. That's really convincing. Thanks, Frank. Thomas Tuchel, does he want him? Does he want him to stay?
That I'm not sure. After the problem that they had, the fact that he criticized a little bit Tuchel at a certain point, I'm not sure. But we don't really know what's going on with Tuchel. What's going to happen to Tuchel too? Will he going to stay or will he go to Bayern Munich? That's another question. So, lots of thoughts in Paris Saint-Germain's board for before the end of the season, I guess.
Would you keep him, Frank? Thomas Tuchel?
Yes. Yes, I will keep him. I will keep him because he showed some strength in terms of character, especially last year with Mbappe when he was late for a meeting. He has a tricky position where, in fact, it's still the same where the chairman Nasser Al-Khelaifi is too friend with the players. And when the players want to complain, they complain directly to the chairman. So it's very tricky for Tuchel to compose with all the people that he has around, because I'm not sure they all back him up. So that's very dangerous for him to get a position where he can regret after. So I don't know what he's going to do.
Frank Leboeuf, as always, thank you very much. If you want more from Frank, and let's face it, who doesn't want more Leboeuf in their life? You can check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel, where he's joined by Shagger Hislop. When we saw David Beckham put out a picture of a shepherd's pie that he thoroughly enjoyed this weekend, of course, our mind went to only one man, and we welcome Stevie Nicol and Ian Dark with us as well. This is where we've come to, boys, analysing David Beckham's shepherd's pie. How do you rate it, Stevie?
Well, for a start, there's corn in it. That's a no-no. And the beans is an add-on. You can add beans yourself. But let's be honest, right? What kind of connoisseur would rather eat a packeted shepherd's pie rather than a homemade shepherd's pie? I mean, seriously, he's clearly not a connoisseur, like myself, of the shepherd's pie.
Well, here's the tenuous link then. David Beckham was playing in the semi-final of the FA Cup against Arsenal, where Ryan Giggs scored one of the best goals the competition has ever seen. I rewatched it this morning. It's actually better than I remember it. Ian, it's a bit special, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, one of the great goals of the modern era, no question about it. And I think Arsenal had missed a penalty, hadn't they? Bergkamp, and they'd gone to extra time. I mean, Giggs gets the ball. He's got no prayer of scoring, but it's like a slalom run, in and out, and no defenders. And Arsenal had a good defence then, could get near him. And he still is cool enough at the end of that lung-bursting run to finishing it off. And then he goes off, doesn't he, on that run, swirling his shirt above his head. Just a magic, brilliant goal.
Yeah, I've got my second button undone just as a tribute there to Giggs. A little bit of hair coming through for you all today. Stevie, do you just sit there questioning defending, or can you just enjoy the goal?
I'll be honest with you, Dan, when I think about this goal in this game, the only thing that comes to mind was I was actually en route to immigrating to the USA. I flew to America. I was in Norway on a layover. I was flying to the USA to start a new life the following day. I actually managed to lose my bags on the way there. But so when I think of that fantastic game and goal, that's the first thing that comes to my head.
Now, Stephen, when most people say lose their bags, maybe they get to the carousel and it's not there.
Yeah, can we move on,
this
please?
This was you leaving the hotel, forgetting that you had your bags and only realising when you're in the connection in London.
Well, it was 2:30 in the morning. I haven't watched the game. I'd probably got about half an hour's sleep, and I just got a shower and get out and went away. And of course, when I got off the flight, I was like, there's something no right here. Of course, it was the bags. So, now you understand why I don't really think about the game too much. I think about that.
Man, I love that story. Right, let's get back to Ryan Giggs, Ian, because am I right? Is he in your Premier League best 11 that we've been asking people for? Who have you got?
Yeah, well, I've gone with Peter Schmeichel and Goya. Giggs is in it. I know Mark Ogden didn't have him in, but look, Ryan Giggs won 13 Premier League titles. I think he's top of the assist table, and he was a brilliant player, so he had to be in it. So anyway, it's Peter Schmeichel in goal. I think most people would have Peter Schmeichel in goal. Then I've got Gary Neville, Vincent Kompany, not Rio Ferdinand, Vincent Kompany, for all the great work he did at Manchester City. Then John Terry, the inspiration and leader at Chelsea for so long. Ashley Cole, then three in midfield, Gerrard, Roy Keane, Paul Scholes. Up front, Cristiano Ronaldo, probably the most gifted player ever to play in the Premier League. All right, it was comparatively briefly, but he's got to be in there. Thierry Henry, grace, Olympian speed, aesthetically so easy on the eye. So I put him in ahead of Shearer. You could argue about that. And then Giggs. So that's my 11 anyway. But hey, it's an almost impossible job trying to pick the best 11 from 28 years of the Premier League.
Well, you certainly upset someone, I'm sure, with it. Stevie, what do you make of that 11?
Well, as Ian said there, I mean, it's kind of hard to get it wrong. People will have different views on different positions. But the 11 players that he's put out were great players. I would have a couple of changes in it. I wouldn't have had Gary Neville at right back. I would have had Dennis Irwin. I went for Rio Ferdinand and Terry as my centre-backs. Yes, Kompany, again, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I actually had Keane and Gerrard in the middle, as Ian did, but I had a four. I had Giggs on the left and I had Ronaldo on the right. And up front, I had Shearer and Cantona. Now, again, I think my team is a fantastic team. Probably would just shade Ian's team, but Ian's is a good team also.
Oh, it's all very
Stevie's
polite.
Is a
all
good
very
team
nice.
Too. They're all good today. Teams. I saw Mark's team. I thought I can't improve on that, but I thought I'd better come up with something a little bit different. But, you know, we're leaving out Wayne Rooney. He's not even in the discussion, is he?
You're not asked to come up with something different. You're meant to pick the best team, Ian. You're not meant to come up with something different. You've got to pick the best team. If 100 people pick the same team, then it doesn't matter.
I was thinking a couple of players that won't ever get a mention, but people hated to play against. Mark Overmars at Arsenal, fantastic winger. He wouldn't get in this team, but he'd be in a lot of people's, nearly missed. Anyway, Matt Letizia, lovely player to watch. Probably shouldn't say that as a Pompey fan, because he was a Southampton star, but Letizia was brilliant.
Sorry, Ian.
Meanwhile, we've
with
been
that logic,
up,
that means Vinny. That means Vinnie Jones should be on it, right? Didn't like playing against, though.
I've got no meanwhile, comment on that, I think.
We've been asking our... Let me talk. Right, meanwhile, we've been asking our pundits to give us the best team they've ever seen. Now, they had to be there. They had to witness it, not just on the TV. Where are you going, Ian, with this?
Well, I was a spectator. I wasn't commentating that night. I took my son, Robert, who was 17 at the time, to see Barcelona play Manchester United at Wembley Stadium in the Champions League final of 2011. And at the end of the game, Barcelona had won. They'd made the game look like poetry, I think, that night. And I turned around to Rob and I said to him, if you ever see anybody play better than that in your whole lifetime, you'll be very lucky, because I haven't. They were just sensational.
You're very much in the majority, Ian, as we say thank you very much. A lot of pundits agree with you. You can check out who other teams they have chosen throughout the years the best they've ever witnessed over on the website.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents. Napa
Know-How. Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Welcome into Extra Time. Look at this lineup. Shaka Hislop and Frank LaBeouf with me today. Let's get straight to it, gentlemen. Frank, Lampard, Gerrard or Ballack? Who would you first pick?
I would pick Frank Lampard because what he did when he came to Chelsea was absolutely fantastic. I played against him when he was playing for West Ham and he wasn't the Lampard that I seen after that. Gerrard, I played a little bit against him, like two or three seasons, and he was already fantastic. But Lampard, I mean, that was absolutely fantastic what he did and with his career and what he won. So Lampard for sure.
And Chelsea TV inevitably going to say that. Shaka, a little bit of maybe objectivity in this. Lampard, Gerrard or Ballack?
I'm not sure how objective I am, but I'm going to go Steven Gerrard. Listen, I understand the comparisons, and in all honesty, it's a close race between Gerrard and Lampard for me. And in many respects, I think Gerrard got the short end of the stick, particularly when you think about the England national team. But for me, I don't know. I think Frank probably had a better goal scoring ratio, but I thought Gerrard could give you a bit more all over the field.
Who scored more against you, Shaq? Lampard or Gerrard?
I have no idea. I played with Frank for a huge portion of my career. So probably Gerrard by numbers, because he played more games against me, I'm going to go with.
Frank, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done on a football pitch?
I gave a fantastic ball, fantastic assist to Ronaldinho when I played for Marseille. I was the captain of Marseille, and we played the Clásico, which is normally the biggest game. We play at home in Marseille, and we were already losing 1-0. And I tried to put the ball over Ronaldinho, but I put it straight to his leg, and he went straight to the goal and scored and killed the game. Very embarrassing, very much.
Shaka.
Well, in footballing terms, and this game comes to mind because I saw Portsmouth post about it recently, Patrick Berger scored this incredible goal away to Charlton to bring us 1-1, and then I conceded what I think is the softest goal of my career. I mean, Patrick's goal was a contender for goal of the season, and I let in what was easily the easiest of goals. There was another time, though, more embarrassingly, I guess, playing. And this was playing when I used to play in the States. Then you were allowed to go off and come back on. And I needed a bathroom break during the course of one game, and had to be substituted to attend to matters to be brought back on to finish off the game. That's kind of up there with them.
Oh, lovely, Shaka. That's very enjoyable. Frank, who would your best centre back partner be? Who's currently playing? Who would you choose?
Well, there is no question. I would pick the best, Virgil van Dijk. That would be a pleasure and a fantastic help to be alongside him. Fantastic player. I appreciate the guy. I appreciate the character. I appreciate everything on him. So yeah, it would be fantastic.
Let's talk Germans. Shaka, Karl, Lehmann or Neuer?
What was your first name?
Oliver Kahn.
Kahn.
Ooh. Oliver Kahn. Lehman is the third in that list, and Kahn was just more orthodox, and then far more focused, I think, than Neuer was, even and continues to be. I think Oliver Kahn, rightly one of the best of all time.
You go with Kahn as well, Frank?
Yes, I already said in that show that I had the chance to have Fabien Barthez with the national team, and we play against Germany one day in Stade de France, and Fabien Barthez was just named best goalkeeper in the world, I think. And I came to see Kahn to say that I was really fond of him, that he was a fantastic goalkeeper. He was like the son of Sepp Maier. I love the character of the guy. I love his experience and the way that he was performing. So, yeah, I will go with Oliver Kahn as well.
Frank, is it a coincidence that you and Marcel Desailly seem to follow each other around throughout your careers? You both played for Marseille, Chelsea, the French national team, and ended your careers in Qatar.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about it. I wish I would have the same trophies that he has in his... in his place. I never played for Milan, and when Milan was maybe the best team in the world, it's mostly that I followed him in Marseille and he followed me in Chelsea for different reasons. I think it was an experience for me to come to Chelsea, and it was kind of a confirmation of his career when he signed for the same club. Different perspective. I think Marcel Desailly has a fantastic career, and I would never compare mine to his, because he was, I guess, maybe at the time, the best central defender in the world, especially in 98.
Right then, Shaka. What was the hardest part about moving to a new country to play football?
Moving to England was tough because, I mean, I was young and I was get involved with, I went to Reading on trial back in 92. So that was a huge upheaval. And the move from England to the States was a lot easier. At this point, I'd all but played all of my career. I knew that my career was coming to a very quick end. I knew and understood soccer in the US, culture in the US, and albeit in Texas. I had some experience of living in America already, so that wasn't as tough.
What did you hate about England, Shaq, when you went there?
Sorry?
What did you hate about it?
Well, the weather, for starters, throughout, and especially, you know, even later on in my career, going back to Trinidad to play the national team, every time you're flying to Heathrow, somehow it's covered in clouds and it's grey and it's raining. That never got... that never got easy or any easier over the years. But moving to 92, like I say, I left the US with a space and $100 in my pocket to go on trial at a third division club and the third division of English football, and really didn't know what I was doing, what I was letting myself in for. Nobody knew who I was. That was tough, you know. I didn't know anybody there. That was tough.
What about you, Frank?
It was quite easy. It was fantastic for me coming from Strasbourg to come to Chelsea, and then after I went to Qatar to finish my career. I'm curious, so I like discovering cultures, and it wasn't very difficult for me to settle down, and that I was always very happy to change and move. Even when I came to Los Angeles, even if it wasn't for football, it was a pleasure to come over. It's true that I left England after 5 years because, like Shaka, I was fed up with the forecast and with the weather. It was unbearable at the end of the day when you have a day off and you say, okay, I'm going to play golf, and the time you take your shower and you have the rain, so it's impossible. I say, okay, bye bye. I have to go.
Final question, Frank. Who's the best midfielder that you ever played with?
Ooh. Oh my God. I play with so many fantastic. I can name a few. Di Matteo, Zola, Zidane, Emmanuel Petit, Patrick Vieira. Well, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, it's a question I can't really answer because Didier Deschamps, Dennis White, it's impossible for me to answer. It's so many fantastic midfield players. I will say Zola because Zola is the guy who amazed me the most when I saw him playing throughout the season that I played against with him. So I will pick the little boy, Gianfranco Zola, let's say.
Zola ahead of Zidane.
Yeah, well, Zizou is Zizou, and everybody knows Zizou, and of course it was a real honor and pleasure to play alongside him. But I played, and I saw Gianfranco Zola training every day, playing week in, week out, you know, for Chelsea. I know better football-wise, but also man-wise, Gianfranco Zola, and that guy is 100% a fantastic person, so it's why I, if you allow me, I pick Gianfranco.
So Zidane's not a fantastic person, Frank?
I know. I don't know enough Zidane to say if he's a fantastic person. You're really a journalist right now. No, Zizou is a great person. Zizou
Frank
is a great person. But I know him.
Frank LaBeouf hates Zinedine Zidane. That's what we learned here today. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us.